There are times in life when it doesn't make sense. There are times of intense pain that make way to an immense joy or relief. Times when the pain is held for longer, and times when we experience pain that never ceases or has intense moments and then fades into our memories. When we go through circumstances so difficult that without faith in God, it would seem impossible to make our way through it. When we experience people around us asking what resources we used to make it through, and we can reliably point to our relationship by faith in God, our Creator, our Comforter, and our Sustainer. Today, we will look closely at our understanding of the word faith, setting the perimeters of our own understanding that, in turn, we can guide those who might be struggling or exploring a relationship with God that doesn't yet have a foundation to grow from. Victoria Larson sets us up by explaining that faith is a gift from God. It is not something we automatically generate within ourselves. It is something God gives in full measure to particular people in a community to spread so that all might enjoy the fullness of God's gift together. She goes on to say that faith is not something you must have in order to come to church. Rather, church is a place you go when you don't have faith in yourself, because it's where other people carry faith for you. For a further examination of faith, we journey into Luther's understanding of faith, found in his works of The Freedom of a Christian, where he is reestablishing and laying out the foundation for those exploring these concepts with that he was uncovering about our relationship with God and vice versa. He first builds his point and then explains to those reading that the freedom one experiences is because of our faith in God. It is written as a response to the corruptions and deceptions seen within the church of the time and the ungodly teachings and godlessness he saw from the leadership. To those he felt were undeservedly deceived, Luther can be viewed as having the same zeal and the same passion that was attributed to Christ against his adversaries, of God's love and salvation to all. He goes on to explain that by this knowledge you will receive that you need Christ, who suffered and rose again for you, in order that, believing in him, you may become another human being by this faith, because of all your sins are forgiven and you are justified by another's merits, namely Christ alone. Further, Luther says that for the word is such a nature that the soul is formed by it, the word being faith. Just as heated iron glows like fire because of its union with fire, so it is clear that a Christian needs faith for everything and will have no need of works to be justified. Therefore, he states, our faith in God is a pivotal point that feeds into all other aspects of our life. Without it, absolutely nothing else can satisfy our soul. But when the soul has the word, it is rich and needs nothing else, because the word of God is the word of life, truth, light, peace, righteousness, salvation, joy, freedom, wisdom, power, grace, glory, and every imaginable blessing. So for the laying out of this foundation, we can build a richer understanding of our faith, and how it is not a one-and-done thing, but is a continual renewal each day and through every circumstance we face. It gives us the walls for support when our faith may be struggling, and having the ability to see the light and the difficulties of life. With this foundational work, it then gives us lens of the interpretation needed for our gospel reading, which is probably today the most difficult reading to see how faith is played out. In one of the commentaries I read, the author uses the parameters established through Christ's ministry, his persecution, death, resurrection, and ascension, to view Mark's writings, stating that Mark 13 is meant to inspire us believers to remain vigilant, faithful, and prepared in the face of uncertainty and tribulations. Despite the prophecy, trials, and turmoil, the promise of the Lord's return stands as a beacon for our hope and assurance. This chapter serves as a testament to the enduring power of faith and the boundless grace of God's salvation, reminding us that amidst the impertinences of the world's structures, that God's word endures forever. Mark himself is seeking, through the interpretation of Christ's words to the disciples gathered with him in this place, to not be led astray by temporary things or be deceived by those interpreting and speaking falsely to the truths of what Christ is preaching and teaching. Furthermore, these things Christ is warning the disciples against will take place. They are inevitable because they are tied to the covenant made through Christ to be fulfilled upon his death, encouraging the disciples to remain faithful to God's commandments and promises, reminding them that the pain they are experiencing when placed against their timeline of their lives is temporary. The persecutions they will face does not mean that the end has come, nor is it an occasion for the loss of hope. It is rather an occasion to witness to the nations, for these things must take place as the end comes. Patient endurance is required for the vindication, for the promise, for our hope that we have at the end. And through Christ's words that finish out the portion of this letter, is that those who read this letter, that they find that they must sustain their faith, their beliefs, their trust, confidence, and the strength to continue and to be encouraged. The author is making that distinction that faith and belief are not exactly the same. That faith always comes from God and involves his revelation. Therefore, faith is beyond belief. So within these parameters being set through our faith and faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to us, we can see the offshoot of our hope. So our final focus is being inward within ourselves. While holding on to these considerations presented, is to retain these words spoken, which are meant to prepare us to hold fast and hold on to our faith in God when facing the turbulent world around us, that we may have firm confidence and an unwavering faith. Our task is to be vigilant so as not to be led astray and to refuse to be disturbed by the contemporary events which are in God's control. These verses become a reminder of perseverance in the matters of faith, through the trials, in the faces of false prophets, and in the faces of impatience. The faith that we receive from God for our everyday trials, the violence of war, the perilous existence of the church under persecution, the enticing voices of false prophets and false messiahs. All these do not last forever, Holding on to Luther's words, we continue in a time of uncertainty that say, so Luther says, now let faith intervene, and it will turn out that sins, death, and hell are Christ, but grace, life, and the salvation are the souls. So for us, these words are meant to encourage us that these pains we experience are but temporary, for by faith in God, we experience love being foundational for the hope that we have in the future. Amen.